Live.
Once we like, okay, cool. We're officially live now. We are on the YouTube.
Let's go.
My favorite part is that the screen's not sharing, but I can hear the thing.
Hello and welcome. This is not our usual Once a Duck podcast, but this is a live stream right now between me and Sam because, hey, honestly, we don't have a guest this week. Everybody's busy because it is Platypus Cup weekend, and we all know everybody's kind of busy because it's also Thanksgiving weekend. So, first of all, Sam, happy Thanksgiving, and how have you been doing for this Thanksgiving weekend?
Nick, you know, it's a Thanksgiving's a fun holiday. You get to reminisce about things that matter, the people that matter. And my favorite is when the people that matter won't let you forget about what happened the weekend before for an entire day, asking you consistently, what's up with those Ducks, man? Because that's all I heard for about 5 straight hours yesterday. So I've got plenty to say on that matter, and then we can move on to things happening tomorrow.
Yeah, we've got a lot to catch up on, and yeah, we asked a couple guests this week, but I think after the taste that's in all our mouths after that Utah game, I don't think a lot of people wanted to speak, so we decided, and we held off as long as we could, and we said, you know what, with the Thanksgiving weekend, let's just go live on Friday. Everybody will appreciate that and join in, and if not, you're missing out, because this is your chance to ask us one-on-one what your questions are, especially after coming off that Utah week. So I think the first thing we got to do is start with a lightning yellow round to just get our thoughts out there about that Utah game, because it wasn't quite how either of us expected it to go. So 2 minutes on the clock. Let's go, Sam. You start.
All right. Well, you know what? I don't know who's watching this right now. Probably nobody. But if anybody is, take the kids away from the screen. 3, 2, 1. What the fuck was that? That was speaking for every Duck fan. You take over at this point. What the fuck was that?
I'm just going to say the swear jar I've emptied out just for this because it deserved it. All that's in here now, I'm trying to get all the positive energy in here as possible. So I took all the money out of the swear jar, put nothing but Rose Bowl confetti in from 2020. That's all that's in there. Brother, we need to get the Chi back on course. That's all I need to say. We went to Utah and we walked into a hive, a beehive that was already swarming, ready to go for us, and we weren't prepared for it. And that's why I said on Twitter, it reminded me so much of that Wazoo game, because we come off this big 2018 UW win and we go to Wazoo, game day's there, and it's the biggest game that should be in a lot of those players' careers, and we come out and we do not execute. We succumb to the pressure of the crowd, and you know, we made it their highlight video. It reminds me, at least at home, when we played the Halloween game against USC. It's exactly the kind of trap we set up for them, but we put up, or at least USC put up more of a fight than that. So, you know, it was tough. You got 30 seconds left, Sam. Sorry.
Well, you know, I'll go into this more after this, but it just a total, it didn't feel like anybody got off the bus. Can you think of anyone that you go, you know what, they had a really good game? Because I can't. I cannot think of one person who I think played a game that was better than any they played all year. It didn't happen. We didn't see it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair criticism. But again, who is going to play their best game in that scenario? So that's our lightning yellow round. We will continue on the subject, obviously, beyond this two-minute mark. But that's the 2 minutes right there of us to just get it out. I do want to say, first and foremost, there's a lot of blame that's been put on Anthony Brown. And some of that is very, very fair. But to go into that game, and as we, you know, You told me at least early in the week, Johnny Johnson, he's done for the season. And that wasn't the most surprising thing this week because obviously Red being out. And then as we talked about last week, the transfer portal, Micah Pittman, man, decimated our receivers. So I can't put too much on Anthony Brown for not having a lot of commitment to being there to stay in the pocket, which was already being shredded up. So it was a tough game. And the best thing I can say about it is we don't have to go back to Utah. But what concerns me more right now is obviously we have to go and play an Oregon State team that is rolling, that beat Utah, that has run the ball very efficiently and beat us last year. So Sam, how optimistic are you feeling about this game tomorrow, which I wish I could be at, but yeah, I'm 12:30 is what really, really, you know, kind of screwed me on this. I can't be there that early. So I don't know, man. I'm going to be here, maybe give a couple live videos for our fans, but how do you feel about going in this Oregon State game after this loss? Do you think we can rebound or, you know, do you really feel negative about this right now?
Honestly, this game will absolutely come down to whether or not Oregon has and brings the effort that was ever so lacking at Utah.
Yeah.
The number one thing that made me the most irritated watching that game at Utah, and there was a lot of things to make me irritated. I'm very easily irritable, in fact.
You are.
It doesn't take a lot to get me there.
I love it, though.
I know you do. And it's why we're still doing this. But the truth of the matter is Oregon played with next to zero effort. The O on the back of their helmet should have stood for how much they were trying for 60 Damn. Minutes of that ball game. Okay. There was a touchdown because of a defensive breakdown on one drive that was able to move in a semi-productive way. Everything besides that stalled out and was broken. Utah knew how to attack this Oregon team and they did it with malice. It was swift. It was diabolical, and good gracious, it was something to behold. And if I wasn't an Oregon fan, I'd probably be looking at it thinking it somewhat differently. But being an Oregon fan, understanding what this team is capable of and the amount of talent that they have on this roster, that was crushing. That being said, Oregon State is a rivalry game. It is a senior night for a lot of guys. It's the last game in Autzen for even more guys. It will be a crazy atmosphere. It's a rivalry game. You're always going to have juice. You're always going to have energy. And one thing that I think will definitely benefit this Oregon team is that they lost this game last year.
Yeah.
I don't think that's something that Oregon has forgotten. I think that that motivated them into their championship game against USC after the Washington game was canceled because Washington's soft. And the truth of the matter is that Oregon's going to need that exact same level of anger, of feeling, of wanting to repent for that loss from last season. That was, again, a game that came down to just some effort plays that really weren't there. If Oregon's going to win on Saturday, they need to show up first and foremost. It's a team that is more talented at every position on the field, but maybe one or two. And granted, quarterback is one of those, but one or two where I think Oregon State might be more talented than Oregon. Well, one or two. That shouldn't be enough. I think that if Oregon comes and plays their game, they should be able to win, even if it's ugly, even if it's a smothering game. But it will absolutely rely on how much these talented, talented guys bring it on Saturday.
Yeah, and that's fair. But again, we are looking right now at a rivalry game that is unparalleled in its, especially last year. It shows you that the talent on the field, especially like COVID, post-COVID, is not going to be relevant in terms of this game. It's going to come down to who wants it more. And honestly, as much as we want to talk about Oregon State winning last year's game, it came down to like three quarterback sneaks in a row where they sacrificed the quarterback that has not been able to play efficiently all season, Tristan Jebbia, to get that win. And they didn't have anything else in terms of the run game than getting that 1 or 2 inches. Yeah, did we bend way too much to not break right there on the 1 yard line? But as you watch that game back again last year and at their place, it should not have even come down to that. And unfortunately, right there, we were not seeing the Jordan Scott we have seen from 2018, 2019. We're seeing a Jordan Scott that has gone through a preseason and a summer that is non-existent. So someone that's trying to keep on that level of mass and weight in a good way, not going to be that possible. So one thing I really, really considered, especially in that goal line stand, is I go back and I watch it. Do I know for sure the quarterback cleared the goal line? I can't say that with certainty. What I do know is our offense did not play up to anything of their potential. And a lot of that I attribute to going to Corvallis with an empty stadium and having to play there with, you know, very little road experience with Tyler Shuck as our quarterback. And our running game was just shut down for most of that game, while theirs was at least efficient enough to get them the win. And you know what? We weren't tackling very great, but again,
don't even undersell them like that. Jefferson ran Oregon basically out of the state.
It could have been anybody back there, though. You go back and you watch that game, it wasn't necessarily Oregon State making plays. It was Oregon not making plays, not playing to their potential. And I could totally see that towards the end of the season. But this season, it's got to be different. It's got to be that we've had this full potential for everybody to get that full offseason conditioning program, that fourth quarter program. So I think the biggest thing is going to be if we don't, and we are already so injured, but the biggest thing is if we can go down there and play the same, or in Autzen, and go and play the same game we did last year, I already feel better about it because our offensive efficiency will be better. It's already been better this season. And, you know, with the exception of Stanford and going on the road at Utah, I feel confident that this team will be able to find traction on, you know, the field of Autzen Stadium, Rich Brooks Field right there, and get something against the Beavers. The thing I'm most worried about is how much we can stop them. And while I'm not so much worried about the quarterback position, I'm worried about the receivers, I'm worried about the running backs, and especially Oregon State has a pretty good offensive line.
Oregon State is one of the best offensive lines in the nation. Their finalists are nominated for the exact same award. Yeah. Oregon's offensive line is.
Yeah.
They're both really, really. I would argue Oregon and Oregon State have the two best offensive lines in the Pac-12, and Utah very, very much up there as well.
But
those three schools, I have a hard time finding close.
To interject really quick, one of the biggest reasons Cal was one of my three finalists when I committed is the current coach of Oregon State. And if I butcher it, I apologize. Mihalchik is the offensive line coach there. And I remember when he showed up to my school with a Cal Bowl ring, thinking to myself, when I get a couple of those rings, I'm going to show those off. And I have ever since. But that is a guy that has absolutely trained beasts. I remember Alex Mack back in the day when I was getting recruited at Cal, sitting there thinking like the flexibility and size of this man. And, you know, to go over to the NFL and be able to play efficiently for as many years as he did and, you know, make a name for himself. I sat there thinking, yeah, from Corvallis and from Cal back in the day, like that's a guy that can get you there. So obviously his offensive line is top notch in the Pac-12.
Well, it's top notch, and it's helped not only a running game that's among the top in the nation in terms of yards gained, yards per run. They're phenomenal on the ground. Oregon State really is. Oregon's going to yet again have another week of really difficult play after play trying to stop the run.
Yeah.
The thing that offensive line does so well, they don't just run block, they pass block too, and they give Chance Nolan all the time in the world. If Chance Nolan's given an opportunity from the very first snap of the season, they probably win that game at Purdue and are nationally ranked at this point.
Yeah.
The truth is that he, when I mentioned positions that may be more talented than Oregon, I say maybe because I really don't know. I wouldn't know what either looks like in a vacuum. So it's not really fair to say which one I think is absolutely better. But I think that quarterback is one of the positions where it's comparable to Oregon in terms of Nolan being that good of a player who can put the ball in any spot you need him to. He's not going to make a bad decision. And as you mentioned, he's protected by that phenomenal offensive line.
Yeah. And of course, when you have an offensive line like that, it makes a lot of things possible for you, not just in the run game, but pass protection, which we saw against Utah was very, very up and down. And there was times where we were able to set the front and maybe the quarterback was a little like quick of foot, but man, there are also times where you're setting that, you know, one tackle is on an island, and it is very important. You do not give up the inside go. If you're the tackle on the island in pass pro, the slide is going away from you. The one thing you cannot do is give an inside rush, because as a lot of people want to give Anthony Brown a lot of trouble for that one sack he took where he went down on himself. You know, it felt like phantom tackle right there, right? But you are on an opponent's field. You have no idea how the turf is. And you're sitting there with the slide side to your left, which you don't feel like you have enough pocket presence to step up in. A lot of those guys are 6 foot six and above. And you're trying to look over to your left with a wide open receiver. And you immediately have to turn away from that because the games are running on the left side. And we saw that. Oh man, very, very troubling two times in the game that was very, very important to us losing to Utah and giving them a lot more momentum in a game where they already were emotionally charged. I just sit there and I look and man, if we get that game on a neutral field, knock on wood, if we can beat Oregon State, man, I see it a whole lot differently than a lot of people have. I watch those first couple drives and I see if we just execute a little bit differently. If we are in sync on the offensive line, we all get off the ball at the same chart. Man, we can do it. But the thing that really killed momentum in that last game, and I think we can all agree to it, is the attempt at a reverse was one of the most poorly timed trick plays in Oregon football, at least recent memory for me. And, oh, man, if you're going to do a reverse in that scenario, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, but and compliments to Utah, staying at home as the backside defensive end, backside defensive linebacker, that is exactly what you have to do, and it's very difficult to do that. But, oh, my God, why do you call that play giving it to a freshman? If you're going to give the ball up, give it to somebody like Dye on the backside. If they do anticipate him getting the ball, he knows to get upfield, get what yards you can get. A negative 2 or 3 yard rush is a lot better than that negative 5, 6, 7. That was what really killed us, those kind of decision-making. And, you know, it's tough when you have Micah Pittman leaving the program. You're relying on young guys. And honestly, we're looking at Williams and Dye to carry this team offensively outside of our quarterback in that game. And, you know, you just can't rely on two guys to get your offensive production going. So I look at this Oregon State game, and it's going to mean a lot to me in the first half if we get Dye going. And if we get our second, third, and fourth receivers going, and we're moving seven, McGee is going to play some slot receiver this week. So hopefully that gets him some quick, easy touches that just gets 3, 4 yards. It's all we need.
And truthfully, I think that getting those freshmen ready is going to be huge. You got a guy, I think we can all agree, despite his mistake and losing additional yards, even on that reverse, Chris Hudson probably is the furthest along of all of the young receivers just in terms of what he's doing on a regular basis and in the production that he has. I think that you look at – you've got so many talented guys. You've got like – you've got Troy Franklin out there. You've got Dante Thornton out there. You've got other guys who we know can produce and can put in time. It's just going to be a situation of, hey, get these guys the reps. We don't know when in practice Red went down. We know Johnny was out, so we don't know how long those three were even starting together, even lining up next to each other. We have no idea. Having an extra week will be helpful for all of them. They are all phenomenal athletes. They're not on this team because they can't play. We'll put it that way. Truthfully, though, I'm going to need this Oregon team, receiver, running back, whatever position you are, remember the occasion. Remember what's going on here. I know, yeah, 1-0, faceless opponent. That's all fun and games. We're in game 12. The Beavers are in town. The team right up the road, 45 minutes from you. If this is another game where Oregon has a slow start, I said it last week on the podcast. If Oregon has a slow start against Utah, things are going to be very, very difficult for the Ducks.
Yep, you're right.
We knew this. I said Oregon's Utah's too good of a team to go down a couple of scores and think you're just going to dig out of it. And that's exactly what happened. And I've got the exact same prognosis for Oregon State. Oregon State beat Utah, and it was kind of handily. The second half, once they figured it out and once they got rolling, they were clean and clear going forward. Oregon has to come out angry. I don't mean excited, I mean angry. Come out mad. Come out wanting to hit somebody. Come out wanting to run through somebody. Not reckless, but with that enthusiasm and that energy, that's what we're going to need to see from Oregon this week. And for those young receivers, get educated on the matchup. Talk to Joey Harrington for a while. Talk to Joey. learn what this all means. It's all important. Learn about the guys that tried to paint the Oregon State logo on the hill in Eugene and then got covered in yellow paint and slid down the hill. That really happened. I'm not sure if it was exactly like that, but I remember something kind of like that from a history book at one point. This is a classic college football rivalry. These two teams have played each other more than almost any other schools in college football. Take advantage. Take advantage of the moment. Prove that you are the dominant team in the state. This is where it matters most. This is a real, legitimate rivalry, and we're going to need to see how it works out.
You're totally right. And what's great
Say that again. Say that again. I might need to make that my ringtone.
You are totally right, Sam.
I live for that.
So what you need to know is also, while you were on that rant, we have gotten some positive responses in the YouTube chat from our very good friend, Jared Sawyer. And he wants to know right now when he texted this 4013 Wazoo while you record this. So what impact do you think that has on this game? Well, it's not a surprise to me. I almost, if we weren't recording this podcast right now, and if I wasn't recording Kraken One Open tonight with two back-to-back Kraken road games, I think I might have just gone to just actually, hold on. I'll be right back for all of you guys live. You'll appreciate this.
Let's see how much we do really appreciate this.
Oh, you will. So, haven't really been able to share this as much as I would like to, but because we, you know, UW Week didn't deserve an episode. But again, I got a one of these fantastic new paddings for next time I go to America or Alaska Airlines Arena for basketball. Got that from that football game, which is fantastic. I hope if we can just lay it down on Utah and or Oregon State, and then if Wazoo can continue to beat Oregon State's ass, I really have to wonder how much Oregon State comes out motivated tomorrow, because if you lose that motivation to go to the Rose Bowl, to the Pac-12 championship game, all that is out of your sight. That's a really, really tough thing to swallow as soon as you wake up in the morning. And I'll tell you, first and foremost, playing in the War of the Roses 2009, man, I still have the key right here to my hotel suite from when we played Ohio State in that 2010 Rose Bowl game. But there's nothing that was like that. We were in the throwback uniforms, 2009. LeGarrette Blount comes back for that game. We end up winning it in a close one. And my mom jumps the freaking railing with all the student section right there over on the side, right next to the band. And I had to be standing there, catch her in my arms, because otherwise she's going to go down and need four or five knee surgeries instead of three. So, man, I couldn't believe just that game, the intensity of that night. And I hope that same level of intensity the Ducks are bringing to Autzen Stadium tomorrow. Because if we go to the Pac-12 championship in Vegas and we have that Friday game the next week, we need all the energy we can. We need to celebrate just like it was the War of the Roses.
Well, you know what? Well, I think we can look, we can pretty safely say we feel like Washington's probably not going to win tonight. Probably. It's a hard probably, but I'm going to sit here and I'm going to have the outlandishly hot take that at this very moment in time when Washington is getting their absolute, just getting boxed.
Love it.
Just getting
love boxed. It.
their ears are bleeding. It's final. It went final. 40-13. It went final.
Love it.
There we go. We officially know at this very moment that Oregon State is out of the running for the Pac-12 North. Okay. Now, heading down from Portland this morning, excuse me, I was debating back and forth as to which would mean more. Would it be more difficult? Let's put it that way. Would it be more difficult to Oregon to play an Oregon State team that is playing for something they haven't played before, playing for that Pac-12 championship game, trying to reach a new height, if you will?
Yeah.
Or would it be more dangerous to play Oregon State as Oregon State is? They're the giant killers.
Yeah.
They're the team that has been out of it, but wants to take you out of it as well. I can't tell you how many times I've watched an Oregon State team where one team is playing for a heck of a lot more.
Yeah.
It tends to happen when you're the premier
I've been in a couple of those for sure.
I know you have. You absolutely have. You were in probably the best example of this ever in 2010. Yeah. Right, you had a team that was on the press. I know you were there. I know you were there. But for everybody who wasn't there,
my favorite part, though, to admit about that is I barely got to see the field until that final snap where you hear Jerry Ellen start to just, and we're going to the field. Yeah. I'm on the field out there for
40 years. I've been waiting.
Oh man, yeah, it's one of those moments in Duck history that
love,
is a landmark.
Love Jerry,
fantastic person, fantastic commentator, and that captured the moment. Man. Even on the field, I felt choked up just getting in my stance, dude, because it was over. They had no chance, and that encapsulates all our feelings that much more. But we need to take it to the next level. I know a lot of fans nationwide are feeling that it doesn't matter if you win the Pac-12 championship, and I don't disagree. We need to finish this game. We need to go in and go back and play Utah in Vegas to make this season right. And if we don't, it will look back as a disappointment. But looking at the very beginning of the season, looking at this roster, I can't say that a 9-win season wasn't what I was predicting. Like, that's what I felt like. Just the losses at Stanford and Utah were not the way I was expecting it all. And if we could just go ahead, flip everything back around and get another shot at Utah on a neutral field, I have confidence in this roster. If we can just get 2 weeks without any more injuries or, anybody getting kicked out of the first half for a targeting penalty, I have confidence that we could take it to a Utah team in Vegas that is not expecting us to come out and play to our full potential, because they beat our asses, quite honestly, with all the emotion and momentum on their side. And, you know, I give them credit for that. And they executed to the best degree they could. But again, if the Ducks did the same thing, and we've seen them do it before on a neutral field, or even more like on a big stage, I have more confidence in them to do that than I do to go to Wazoo, to go to Arizona. Right now in the Mario Cristobal era, they play in big games. They bring it. But as soon as there's an opponent that doesn't feel like it's up to their par, we play down to those opponents. And unfortunately, I don't know how much of that is coaching versus roster. But right now, I understand that we are in a critical moment of the season where we've had departures. Wide receiver, we're moving Seven McGee out to a slot from a already depleted backfield at running back. So you have to know that right now our coaching staff is doing everything they can to put the best players available in the best positions to create offensive scoring opportunity and defensive scoring opportunities. But it's going to be a lot about who's available. And tomorrow, if DJ Johnson, I think, is one of the guys that we've talked about, but is not nearly talked about enough on a nationwide basis in terms of how much support he's provided this team in terms of injury. At tight end, he is the most physical blocker by a long shot that we have. And when he plays on defensive end on the line, he's made a couple of mistakes, but he's made up for him with his physicality and his ability to play run support, man. When you are that guy, you're that big, 6'5", 6'6", 250 D line, D tight end, anything you want to be, that guy could play anywhere on the field if you give him a chance and you coach him up. And man, if he is available, I feel that much better, because that's where Oregon State doesn't thrive. They don't get those players. They get the occasional Chad Johnson. They get the occasional, James Brothers, but Oregon State is developing a lot of those two-star recruits into that level. If Oregon could go out and play to that 4- and 5-star potential, man, this shouldn't even be a game. But the problem is the level of injury, the level of competition in practice right now, it makes me a little bit concerned for this week. And we won't know until they get on the field, but how they rebound from that Utah game is going to be very, very important.
Well, very first things first. I hate to be this guy, but I love to be this guy. James was the oldest one. They're the Rogers brothers. Come on, man.
Yeah. Rogers, sorry. You're right. The Jaquizz and
the Rogers brothers. Come on now. Give them credit.
I got confused with Michael too. So you got me. Chris Brewer says the Kook student section rushed the field at Husky Stadium and Butch surfed the crowd. Amazing. So right now
to rush the field at Washington.
Yes, exactly. The only reason I am not there right now for an easy $10 ticket to just go shit on Wazoo or shit on UW and Wazoo with this as my cushioning is because I wanted to record this podcast and the Cracking One Open podcast with you and Jameson. So again, one of those minor details, but I wish I could have been there. I would have rushed the field too and just rubbed it in on UW. So I'm going to reach out to all my Husky fan friends and let them know, man. How's it feel to you lose that first Apple Cup since that, first Mike Leach year? I think Mike Leach's first year is the only time they've won it in my memory.
Well, let me give it a Google.
You could give it that, but I'm very, very confident that Mike Leach got one in his first year and then missed. He hasn't won a rivalry game since, I think, his first Apple Cup. You could put me to that, and I'll drink to it, but, man, I'm very confident in that.
It would appear, was Leach's first year 12 or 13?
12, because I think I played him in the Seattle game, right?
I believe so, because 12 was the last time Washington State got one. So let's see.
That's it. I got you.
Some person listening to this a week and a half from when we actually record it's going to be screaming at their device. It was 2012.
Hey, if they're not reacting right now like Jared Sawyer.
2012 to 2019. Nick Cody, ladies and gentlemen, give him a hand.
Give myself a light little golf clap here. Appreciate that. I knew it all along because I remember how weird that game was, man. It might have, like, again, don't want to put medical information out there, but a lot of us were like, Mariota took enough hits that some of us were like, oh man, I hope he doesn't have a concussion, because we were in deep trouble, like already feeling like we're in a weird stadium and it's not Pullman, but you know, professional stadium kind of messes you up on certain levels, but we pulled that one.
I mean, it was a Wazoo game. How full was it?
Well, honestly though, but you're playing in, you know, at the CenturyLink at the time, but you know, the Seahawks arena got all the Wazoo fans potential right there. And we had a lot of Oregon fans too. It was just the scenario itself being in a pro venue, totally different than college. And regardless of how many fans were there, it's always an adjustment. We had a couple things in that game that just went awry just because of the scenario we're in. But if you are playing in the home of Austin Stadium where it never rains, you should not be losing a Civil War, a Platypus Cup. Again, very, very close there. But a Platypus Cup game should not be lost in the home stadium. And honestly, don't want to jinx anything next year. I wouldn't be mad if this rivalry took another turn where the home team winner continues to be the winner for a couple years, because that made this way more interesting than this rivalry you've seen with the Huskies.
Well, and you know what, Nick, I appreciate you saying it doesn't rain in Austin, but as of right now, it might not be raining, but good Lord, it's going to be pouring throughout.
Yeah, and
gracious.
I'm sad I can't be there to go through it all with you guys. I wasn't able to make plans tonight to get down there. And if it wasn't a 12:30 game, I might be able to swing it. But hey, Mike, I hope everybody that's there in Autzen Stadium tomorrow, yell as loud as you can for me. And man, just if you run out of your voice, stream me from your phone and I'll sit there and just give you as loud through this microphone right here as I can. Exactly. That's something you're only going to get through the live stream too. Cause through our recorded, I would give Sam a little bit of warning and he would edit that, but no, this time you get it live.
Well, and Nick, I hate to be the sentimental one because, you know, 9 out of 10 times that makes me throw open my own mouth. But you know what? I will say there is going to be something very special about walking down into that Section 8 for the last time. Yeah. It's going to be a whole lot of fun tomorrow. You know what? Growing up as someone who was an Oregon fan, it was always a dream to be able to attend games in that manner, in that way, in that location, in such a in such an atmosphere as Autzen can tend to be in. You know what? It's been an amazing short little run here. Seen a lot of Oregon Ducks football games. Haven't missed a game at Autzen since the beginning of that 2017 season. It's been a very it's been a fun ride. It's been a fun time. But very excited to be able to get down there. And even if it is pouring down rain, there's going to be nothing like losing my voice one more time at Autzen.
Yeah, and dude, I wish I could be there that one last month, but at least you won't get that like one weird quarter in interruption where I come down, push my way through the student section, find my little self there to get us some selfies and just some time to get some chants going. But
well, dude, after the swag you gave away last game, they're going to be looking for you. My goodness, you got popular quick.
Not only that, I was also thinking like, man, that's our ticket to the front from here on out. So I was laying some groundwork. I hope you take that into consideration tomorrow. Bring some extra gear with you if you need it all. I'll venue mow you a couple bucks so you can
always take it.
You can pick up some things from the duck store and just let them know, because man, it's been great this season to be able to slither my way over there, bring you guys a couple drinks the last time, and just, you know, I never got to be there. The closest I ever got is that 2007 season, which, fantastic as it was, going to be right next to the student section and be there for all the unofficial visits I could take. Man, it's just, there's something different about the energy. But when I got to go back into the student section, just feel it for a bit. And, you know, I can't be there for the Oregon State game. I won't be there for the potential Pac-12 championship game if it is in Vegas and Oregon wins and we're going there. But I do remember, I feel very, very thankful for all the time this season I was able to go over there and just hang out with you guys. All the student section made me feel so welcome. And Corey on the couple times he came with us. But hey, I just know the resonating impact you've had and this podcast has had with enough people, we'll be able to sneak back in there. Maybe not front row, but we'll be able to get like third, fourth, fifth row. We'll find somebody, maybe not someone that's as big a fan as you that gets there to the front every time, but we'll find some way to get back there. And hey, if not, man, we've got plenty of ways that we can get back in the stadium that once a duck is always appreciated. And hey, we will find the next like head. You probably already know it. Next head of the Pitt crew and the Oregon Student Union. We'll get them on the show. We'll get them right here and support it, because once a duck, always a duck. That's not a big thing for us at all.
Well, and I mean, just saying that phrase alone, which although it is the name of our show, it's also an important moniker. I'm assuming you can guess which jersey I'm going to go with for this game.
I'm going to go ahead and just guess we're supposed to go all green tomorrow, right? I'm going green sweatpants, going green once a duck, 61 jersey. So, you know, you have a lot of green you can go with, but go ahead. Tell me, I'll be surprised.
Well, you know, on a day like tomorrow is going to be once a duck, always a duck, feels like the moniker that I'm going to roll with. I remember I wore that same jersey at my first ever Oregon State ball game back in late 2017. You know, a 69-10 ball game, if I remember correctly, a score that I would love to see duplicated.
Hell yeah.
But to that extent, it'll be a lot of fun. I hope to see anybody and everybody out there as usual. It's going to be a fun ball game. Now, Nick, it's come around to that time where we're going to have to start to give our professional analysis and our thoughts on things and really just our idea of how this game's going to work out. Obviously, there's a lot of different aspects to get into. We're not going to use our two-minute clippable, this is exactly what's going to happen breakdown yet, because obviously, once I tell you we're doing that, we're going to do that so I can have a nice clean clip to be able to throw up tomorrow morning to convince people to go rewatch this live.
But you're not wrong.
I will ask you, what are some things you think are going to be necessary for this Oregon State game for the Ducks to pull off? What are they going to have to do? I'll give you a couple after that, and then we can get into our scores.
So before we get to scores, the offensive line needs to cover up the down guys a lot more efficiently than we did against Utah. And the biggest problem is many times our pass protections were set up exactly right to face Utah's stunting. And the best example is the clip that's gone around from former guest Jeff Schwartz, that you see a wide X receiver going right down the left of the field, and Anthony Brown does not even see him because the slide side of the offensive line, all four guys from the center and the right guard working over, are going towards a point to the left, and our right tackle is one-on-one with someone. So the problem with that is you need to trust your slide side to be able to step into those guys, making a wall right there, which, based on the game we're already watching, you can't blame Anthony Brown for stepping up. But we need to know, is the right tackle right there? And it might have been Jeremio, it might have been Sala, whoever it was, you can't give up the inside move. Regardless of how long the pass play is going, 2, 3, 4 seconds, you don't give up the inside spin, the inside rip, any of those things. And essentially, your quarterback isn't able to find a wide open streaking receiver to the left that would have been a touchdown and has to check down to his tight end or whoever's the slot side receiver going right there. It's simple out. And that's a big problem because a lot of people will go and put that on Anthony Brown when it's a whole system error. And you get the right protection called, but do you trust that protection? How firm is that protection set? And that was one of the things that concerned me at Utah, is it felt like, especially with some of the shooting ourselves in the foot with some of the holding calls, some of the false starts, our offensive line was out there to be physical, but they weren't there to be more physical than their opponent. You know what I mean? And it's very, very tough to do that when you're sitting there going on a snap count that's silent because Utah's fans are so loud. So I'm really hoping if and when we beat Oregon State, that our offensive line can go out there and give an even better performance in Vegas, because man, at home and in Vegas, I have to imagine they're going to get off the ball a lot better and a lot better cadence and communication than they did against Utah.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what, you covered offense, I'll cover defense. This Oregon team absolutely needs to stop the run. That's not just Oregon State's running backs either. That's also Wildcat quarterbacks. I'm blanking on the name right now, and I know I shouldn't be, number 12. He was a former quarterback with them, bounced around different positions, played a little fullback, and now is kind of a wildcat quarterback who's phenomenal.
Even the regular quarterback in short yardage, you need to know the quarterback sneak is coming against this team because they beat you with it last year.
Yeah, this is a team that Jonathan Smith is a terrific play caller. He is a terrific designer of offense, and he understands what he's working with. This is a team that will run the ball hard and efficiently. If Oregon wants to win this game, if Oregon cares enough to want to be Pac-12 North champions and get a chance for the Rose Bowl, they're going to have to stop the run.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. Chris Brewer said, sorry to interrupt that non-Oregon news, but thought y'all would like that bit of musing. Do you see the Ducks committing to more run? Abandoning it early versus Utah was shocking. I think when I look back at that, Chris, it was not only shocking, but we've seen this early, and it was an effective strategy for the past couple games because Dye, we already know, without Verdell, only has so many carries in him, and they've been trying to keep him under the third carry mark, which I can give them a lot of credit for, but we've been able to work up to it. As we saw in Utah, we gave him like 1-2 carries in the first series and kind of shut it down from there. And yeah, that's very, very frustrating, but I also understand why we did it based on previous games where in the second half, we were able to get Dye worked in a lot more in those carries and in the passing game, which is where I feel he's the most effective. So if we can't establish the run up front with any back we have in the backfield, I'm a little concerned with giving Dye that many extra carries. I don't know how you feel, Sam.
I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you for a couple of reasons. Number one, well, truth, but the honest to God, my thought at this moment is I don't care if you hand it to him 100 times if it means you beat Oregon State. It doesn't matter. Win that game, because if you don't win that game, I hate to say it's all for nothing, because a 9-win season is a very strong college football season. And I think 9 wins is it's on Twitter somewhere, but I said 9 wins sounds about right for this team this year. I'm pretty sure I said anything between 11-2 and 7-5 would make sense.
Yeah.
But 9 wins was about what I was thinking it would be. if Oregon wants to break that double-digit win mark again, if they want to be on this path that they've seemed to have been carving for themselves over the last few years, being perennial Pac-12 champions, being Rose Bowl contestants on a regular basis, they're going to have to really, really buckle down to this Oregon State game. Oregon State is about as blue-collar a team as you're going to find, just in terms of how they want to attack you and the ways in which they'll do it. Oregon really has to be ready for that. They have to come lunch pail in hand, hard hat on, ready to go to work. It's going to be that type of a ball game. Nick, why don't you give these people your ultimate key, if you will, and then give them a final score. I'll do the same. And then, you know what? We can get out of here and I'll go, you know what? I'll probably clean it up tomorrow sometime. Who cares? Then you watch it on the YouTube.
Hey, regardless, I want to thank everybody out there right now that's watching us on YouTube Live, which has, at least from our comments, been Jared Sawyer and Chris Brew, which we appreciate you guys. And hey, it gives us more topics to talk about. And we'd love to do this more in the future outside of just our regular episodes, especially now that we've switched to Anchor and we can just have podcast season episodes, regular episodes, and little in-between updates, and especially basketball and, you know, all the spring seasons. It's not going to make sense for us to have an episode every time. And when we can go live or just have a little update for all you guys, be really fantastic. And it doesn't change anything for you guys listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any of those platforms, because we just are able to upload our videos straight to there. They translate those audio files and saves us a little bit of money on the SoundCloud streaming. So appreciate that from Anchor right now. And if you hear a couple ads through the Anchor platform, hope you guys don't mind, because just helps us keep this streaming and not having to pay for it ourselves. Individually, we got a one last comment from Jared Sawyer. He said, Taggart might have been a douche nozzle, but he did beat the Beavs 69-10. And I would love to revisit that, because we did have our raincoats on because we were scoring touchdowns, brother. And I'd love to see us scoring a lot of touchdowns that we had to have our raincoats on for more than just the weather tomorrow.
Well, man, I remember that ball. I remember being at that ball game. That was so much fun. That was a ball game where it seemed like everybody was getting theirs. Royce Freeman set the record for the most touchdowns in a pack, like rushing touchdowns in a Pac-12 career in that ball game. So much fun to watch him do what he did. Can we just really quick? Royce Freeman has already become one of the more underrated Ducks of all time. And it's very frustrating to see, just because he played freshman year national championship, and it just kind of downhill until 17 was a little bit of a bump back up. But Royce Freeman was so dang good at Oregon. God, I hate not seeing him get enough.
As much as I love LaMichael, Kenyon, D'Anthony from those guys, there's only number one in the rushing yards. I'll put this up for Royce Freeman all time.
And Royce deserves it.
I think LaMichael would too, because you know, that's a guy that 21 is well deserved. And I think I would love to see if the next 21 was able to make a big statement game in this rivalry game, Platypus Cup with Oregon State.
Well, of course, you know, 21s are good at making statements if we know anything. So I would love to see that as well. Again, everybody who follows us, who listens to us, who pays attention to us whatsoever, trust me, I appreciate it, mostly just because I need that validation. But the rest of you, I appreciate all the follows. The few of you that have donated have been just amazing and have helped us really get things moving in a better direction. You're lucky that I haven't been able to convince Nick yet to make the payments monthly, so you're all still good for now. We'll see what happens as I continue to push for that throughout the rest of the year. Then everybody who follows at Once a Duck, follows myself, follows at Just 61, at Just Follow 61 over there, thank you so much. And without any further ado, Nick, what's the final score of this game going to be?
Well, and make sure you're following at Samuel101TS. Don't let him take all the credit and push it onto me, because he's just as responsible for all the fuck-ups on this podcast as I am. So I'm going to go ahead right now and say, Oregon Ducks, go ahead and beat the Beavers tomorrow, 35-24. And I'm counting it right here. If I'm right, well, you can send me all your betting winnings right on hashtag Once a Duck. Just send it right there.
You know what? I think this is going to be an even closer ball game than that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Oregon's going to have to stop the run, and they're going to have to do the same thing on offense that they're trying to stop, which is never the easiest, but they'll be able to take a lot of cracks at it in practice. We'll put it that way. Oregon, 31. Oregon State, 27. And one of the more interesting competitive – I almost said the words. I almost said it. One of the more interesting battles for cities that are along the Willamette River in the state of Oregon that I've seen in a long time.
We're keeping this buddy empty today. That's the biggest thing. We didn't say the CW word. That's, and we went live and did that. Normally, we would have to edit some things out because we just don't have the money for this right now. But if you guys...
Which is a good segue, and you should keep paying us to do this more.
That's it. Exactly. You guys want to donate, and we could, of course, throw out even more obscene predictions. Then you can just go ahead, donate, cash tag, once a duck, and hey... If you do, you'll be on our VIP list. You see these episodes early and you get entered into raffles automatically that we have for free stuff on the show. So why wouldn't you do it? That's the biggest thing. Like, just go ahead, be a Once a Duck subscriber. And you'll enjoy life a lot more as a Duck fan. But again, we predicted games this close before. We've been off a little bit in predictions, but all I know is every time that we have sat here, and we've called an Oregon State game a little bit differently. I think last year we were very, very like close because we came off that loss to Cal. But you know what? Autzen at home, a lot different game for the Platypus Cup. And if
is that, are we officially calling it that? I've got some other ones I like better. I just want to know if it's official or not.
Throw them up because we called last year's episode the Platy and we lost. Yep. And I'm willing to hear all suggestions that are better. But again, I like the Platypus Cup, Platypus Bowl, all of it. I enjoy that quite thoroughly. Sam, anything you have that might overtake that?
I've got a few that I'll throw out there really quick. Because I mean, at this point, we are just kind of doing what we're doing.
Love it.
And so I'm really gonna have to look because I know I
the must war have for said the war point. For the Willamette is the one I've heard that I'm like I guess I could go with it. I just thought we were trying to remove the war aspect from it because here's my question for you.
Honestly, who has any claim over the term war? War is just one side against another side battling. If that's not what you're seeing on Saturday, then I don't know what you're watching because you're watching the wrong thing. That being said, here, I'll throw some of my my options at you that I remember I put these up, I believe, last June, I want to say. Yeah. So we'll get a chance to see what some of these are. First one, the River Rush. A lot of alliteration in these. You're going to see a lot of alliteration.
Yeah, I'm going to give that a 3 out of 10 right away.
That's fine. Rumble in the Valley.
4 out of 10. You're a little bit better. All right. Than that, but Rumble's cool, but yeah, doesn't stick out for Oregon very much. With valleys in Oregon, no one thinks about. Go ahead, next one.
How about this? The Oregon Territorial Tussle.
That's going to be a 1. No, territorial is not going to get me. Nope.
And then finally, the one that I will push the hardest, and it will be Willamette War.
Yeah.
Gives you the river, gives you the energy, gives you the back and forth. I also would like to say, I don't know if I saw Willamette War posted before I said that. I'm not sure if there's one older.
No, I've seen it. Don't take credit. I've seen a lot of people push.
I said it back in June of 2020.
Well, we'll have to go back and check who said it first. But again, it's not something I like to stick. You don't have to walk over the Willamette to see that game. Most of the times that you play it in Corvallis, it's not anything you're going to the Willamette for. So for me, the Platy is where I have the most faith. The Platypus Cup, Platypus Bowl, whatever you want to call it, the Platy, as long as that is your short name for it, we're on the same page. But the Civil War, if you want to still call it that, I'll accept it. I'll try not to say it out loud to myself, even though I've played in several of them. I do believe the Platypus Cup is the way to go for the future because it's hilarious. It's perfect for Beavers and Ducks. If there's no other, like there is no Buckeyes Wolverines trophy. There's no, you go out there and you look at the Florida, there's no Gator Seminoles trophy. all these great
that Arkansas plays three games a year for trophies.
They're you're right. And here's the thing. We have this one game that should have this. And if the game is not, when it is important, it's a fantastic game. But when it's not important, let's have a trophy out there that's worthy of its own broadcast, which the Platy already is. You can do a 30-minute intro right there on the Platy without having to talk to any of the players that know anything about it, and you're set to go. Because that thing right there has some interesting traditions that fit this rivalry, because it was put in the closet for many, many years, just like this rivalry was until the War of the Roses, okay? I thought you'd appreciate that, but I'm just going to say it flat out, man. That's how it was. They went Fiesta Bowl. They're going to go in 2008. They think they're going to go to the Roses. No, War for the Roses. We play them flat out for it, and who wins? Or right now, it is going to be key for this rivalry for us to go and take and reclaim the throne, because after last year, and subjectively, some Husky fans want to say 2020 doesn't count. It counts for me. I sat there. I watched us lose to a quarterback sneak where they sacrificed their quarterback, and I want to see, as an Oregon fan and former Oregon player, us kick their asses. I wish I could be there tomorrow because I think it's going to happen. But, man, I hope all of you guys cheer for me and on my behalf, because, man, there's nothing more. And I haven't made it that expressive in previous seasons, our last two seasons, but I do not like Oregon State. I don't hate them. It's not UW hate. But I do not like Oregon State. There is nothing I will remember about this rivalry more than walking up, I believe it was 2011, I think. The No Natty guy. Everybody knows this thing. If you watch the No Natty Oregon State guy video, you'll see number 61 in there, like 10 seconds after Kiko Alonso is about to get up in his face. I was about to drop this dude just thinking, man, what are you talking about? No Natty. Like, any Pac-12 team would have been so stoked to have an opportunity of the Natty. And we still sit here from that point and look at it the same way, because UW didn't get close to that. Yeah, Oregon is as close as we've gotten to that in the Pac-12. And if Oregon State can't respect that, we need to teach them some respect. That's what I think about No Natty guy. And again, in Autzen Stadium tomorrow, I wish I was there, but I have the utmost confidence that we're going to beat their asses, and gave that my prediction, but I think it's going to be even worse. I think we're going to, in third and fourth quarter, we're going to be putting out our backups. That's what I'm going to say, because after what I saw us do at Utah with, you know, our 60 man roster, whatever you can take traveling in the Pac-12, I really believe that the culture of this program is going to show up. And if it doesn't, it's going to mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of big changes, not just with the roster or coaching staff, but just in general, in terms of administration, because right now Oregon has gone from the playoff contender to right now sitting here talking about, if we lose to Oregon State, we're not even in the Pac-12 championship game. So this game really means everything. And if the players don't come out and play that way, it's going to be very indicative of the coaching staff.
This game is hugely important. This game is the difference between a potential Rose Bowl from the granddaddy of them all versus a goddamn Red Box Bowl.
It's our first playoff game, man. If you really look at it that way, this is our first playoff game, and I hope they play that way. But, man, you can't deny that based on injury and attrition, that if this team came out, lost to Oregon State, that it wouldn't be expected just based on the level of guys that are out there. And that's a hard thing to say, especially as a former Oregon Duck. But we've seen it before. We've seen it in 2016. We've seen that. But right now, I really do have that much belief in Anthony Brown, in all the receivers that are stepping up that position, and most importantly, our defense and offensive lines. Alex Forsyth and Noah Sewell, I believe, are going to lead us to a victory in this game. And you know, if not, you know what? Whatever bowl game we get and accept, I really hope that we get the most play out of them. But this team deserves to be in that Pac-12 championship game and get another shot at Utah on a neutral field, because I believe that they can set the tone. I saw that game. There's a couple mistakes that we had on offense that if you don't have that Utah crowd shouting, you can hear the snap count. I believe we get 7-7 with them and we can play a real football game with them. And we won't see it unless we take care of our business with the Beavers, which is all we can ask for this Platypus Cup weekend, brother.
It absolutely is. Folks, if that didn't encapsulate everything you needed it to, well, I'm sorry, because that's all you're going to get. Nick, this was a very fun experiment. I hope that in the coming weeks we can try it again to a, let's just call it a slightly wider audience. And then after that, I hope that hope to see you again soon. We're going to have a lot of fun moving forward, whether it be a Pac-12 championship game, whether it's whatever bowl Oregon's in, little basketball coverage, heck, maybe even a Christmas special. We'll see how things go. Folks, it's always fun to check in for you. He's at JustFollow61. I'm Samuel101TS. Nick, what do we say when we take us out of here?
Hey, first, I love it when we're live or recorded. But, hey, basketball season, we actually got to commit to this year at least once or twice.
At least bi-weekly. We gotta at least be bi-weekly.
We will. And doing this live with the participation we've already gotten, I love it. I could do this every single week. But, hey, whatever makes editing easier for you, and I appreciate you for that, brother. But all I know is, once a duck, always a duck. That's our platform. That's all we need. And hey, going into a Platypus Cup weekend, just keep that in mind on social media and in real life tomorrow. Just be kind to each other. We're all ducks. We all love each other. And go Ducks, win or lose. Once a duck, always a duck.
Nick, take us off the live because it sounds weird.
We are taking us off live right now.